Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is hour two. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Now, I bring Joel Klatt on during the college football season, and I see myself as a little bit as a mentor to the younger Klatt. We argue about stuff, but that's how friendships work. So he's really good on this mock draft stuff. So he lives for this stuff. And I, too, have an affinity for things that haven't happened yet and just trying to will them into existence. I love mock drafts. And I've said this before. Every sports talk radio host in America loves something that you can't really talk about on the air. Like you just love hockey and you just can't talk about it.
Or grassroots basketball.
Joy likes grassroots basketball. It's not a lead very often. But that's why she's pretty good on these predictions on who's going to make it, who's not. That's what she loves. I love mock drafts because I like college football recruiting, but I can't talk. People are always like, you love it so much. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not a good topic for my show, right?
Except for draft time.
So let's bring in Joel Klatt, the voice of college football at our network. He's very, very eager to show us his talent. So mock drafts are a lot of...
Guys, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Now, you live down in that rogue county, Orange County.
Yes.
So you don't have to wear a mask while you sleep. So welcome up to Los Angeles County.
I know, wow.
So it's a little crazier up
here. A little different up here.
So we're going to do, we got some sound effects. Ryan.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
Ryan, you got some, drop some draft sound effects here, Ryan. We just want to make the audience.
Like when Colin does something silly at number one.
And also,
or
do
three.
You have some crowd noise in the back so the rumble, because there's always a crowd. I've been to.
Boo.
So we're going to try this. A really big, that's
who's
a little loud.
Who's the crowd booing?
Well, they're not.
The Jets, clearly.
Okay.
Well, they better not be booing me. I'm the one reading it generally. That's the commissioner.
Point. All right. So are you reading the so we're going to go 1 through 16. We do half the first round.
Okay.
It's about 12 minutes long. I did it before Daniel Jeremiah who
he's so good by the way.
He limped out of this. He was swollen after the beating he took from me dominating him. All right. So I get the first pick.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yes. The show's not called The Klatt.
No, I understand that. And whoever finishes last usually gets the first pick, so go ahead.
All right. The Jaguars.
Okay. Let's go. Here we go. So that's an easy one. That's the easiest pick I'll make.
I agree.
Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson. I don't love big school quarterbacks going in the NFL. I like my guys to get beat up a little in college. I just think he is, since Andrew Luck, he's the lock at quarterback. Big games, Alabama's, Ohio State's, he can move. Mm-hmm. A lot of Justin Herbert, he can move, he's smart. He's, you know, you can tell he's got some innate leadership qualities to him.
Yeah, I agree.
I really like him, and I liked him 2 or 3 years ago, and he's gotten better every year. I just think he checks all the boxes for me, so I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer gets his guy.
All right. At number two, the New York Jets are selecting Joel.
I'm actually with Colin on this. I like Sam Darnold a lot. I have since college. I think that the Jets actually stick with Sam Darnold, so I'm going to go with Penei Sewell. Okay, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon, is my pick. This guy has extreme upside, right? I mean, his athleticism is off the charts. His feet are off the charts. He's very smart. He's young. He's probably still a little underdeveloped, which is why he's not going to flash as the most polished offensive pass blocker. But he is a physical freak, and I think that the Jets give Darnold a little bit of help. Robert Saleh looks at that offensive line and says, you know what? We can build something, and I take Penei Sewell, number two, from Oregon.
All right, number three, the Miami Dolphins are selecting. Colin?
Okay. Trey Lance.
Whoa. The first whoa.
Oh, I think he's special.
Okay. You got that off of his 300 passing attempts in college?
By the way, I'm not going to lie. He was at my house 24 hours ago.
Oh, name drop. I love your name.
Very humble, very gracious. He's got all the right things in life that he cares about.
Everything that you're not.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. I like to hang around people that fill in the blanks for me.
Wow, that's an interesting one. Okay, I don't agree with that one at all.
Oh, time out. I'm not getting trapped with Tua. Because
so you take an inexperienced guy?
No.
Do you know in his one season as a starter, Trey Lance threw 18 passes per game? That's like nothing. That's like nothing. He's very inexperienced. I'm not saying he's I love Trey Lance's skill set. I get it.
I don't need to start him for the first year.
Okay.
But I'm not getting trapped with Tua.
Okay.
All right. Number four, the Atlanta Falcons.
I feel like this is a gift. This is a gift.
Joel.
The Falcons take Justin Fields, and he goes back home to Georgia to back up Matt Ryan as Matt Ryan plays out maybe the last couple of years, at least in a Falcons uniform. And Justin Fields, who needs a little development in particular because he can hold the ball too long at times. But remember, he's been the best player on the field in virtually every single game that he's played. He's hyper accurate with the ball down the field. He's an incredible athlete. And that leadership that you talked about with Trevor Lawrence, he has it in spades as well. Remember, one of the only reasons the Big Ten played football was because of Justin Fields and his leadership. I like the Falcons to take Justin Fields.
I totally disagree. Can he tackle? Because the team can't. They don't have any. They can't tackle. This is a terrible defense. Boy, you and I disagree with that.
Yeah, we do.
He's got Matt Ryan as a 75-year-old man. Matt's 35. Just wait till Arthur Smith makes Matt the MVP. All right, what do we got?
All right, number five, Bengals. Colin.
Matt's gonna text me. By the way, he's like, "Really? You're drafting a quarterback? Go ahead."
I don't have these relationships you do.
Trey Lance was at my house. Very humble.
Okay, I'm gonna take Rashawn Slater, Northwestern. He is what Joe Burrow's got Jonah Williams. So now you can bring a kid in that can play guard. He can play tackle. He matched that with Chase Young. This is somebody if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I didn't know much. And a bunch of smart people said, hey, you like this mock draft? Go check this guy out. First of all, he's had really hard coaching at Northwestern.
Yep.
It's a really smart. They lay it on their players. They make their players figure out stuff. Heady kid, matched up against Chase Young. You can play him in or out. And to me, this league's about find a quarterback and then protect him.
Yeah.
It's what the Colts never did for Andrew Luck. Rashawn, what do you think about that pick?
You know what? I actually like that. And he is my second tackle on the board. I like that a lot. I love Slater as a pick. I think really high floor
had games. You saw him play.
I saw him play, and I know I was bummed that he wasn't on the field last year. He and Sewell both opted out, but Slater's a great player.
Oh, you guys agree on that one. That's nice. Philadelphia Eagles, Joel, number six.
They've got to make a decision on Hurts long term, and I love Jalen as a player. I just don't buy it long term for him. So and the way that this has played out, Zach Wilson is sitting there from BYU. Zach Wilson goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy is kind of a he's a better version of Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz all rolled up into one because he's got more arm talent, right? He can throw off platform. He can drop down. This guy plays the position of quarterback like a shortstop. So you're not afforded the opportunity to repeat your delivery. This is what some of these quarterbacks have wrong. You can't just sit there and be a statue. He's off platform and can drive the football down the field, makes wild plays all the time. You can be concerned about his level of competition, and I get that, but Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be a really good starter in the NFL.
The Detroit Lions, Colin, at number seven.
Okay. So this – now, so much of me wants to take Micah Parsons, who ran a 4-3 yesterday. This defense is awful. They gave up the most yards. They gave up the most points. Detroit's awful defensively. But Kyle Pitts for Florida. Jared Goff just lost Kenny Golladay.
Mm.
You can't give Jared Goff – you can't go from McVay to Dan Campbell and then have no skill people. Kyle Pitts will be a 75-80 catch guy. You can put him out wide. You can put him at tight end. Hell, you can put him anywhere. Many people think he's – I think he's a star, and I think Jared Goff needs help because I think he's downgrading a coach, downgrading an offensive line, and Kenny Golladay just walked out to the Giants. So I'm taking Kyle Pitts. I would much prefer to go defense – but I can't have Goff fail.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go defense.
I was. I was.
That's interesting. And now I'm. Oh gosh.
Joel, is he getting you?
Well,
because
you
you're on
every,
the clock.
You got
number
every,
eight Panthers. Who you got?
Got all these teams that have quarterbacks taking them. You're running out.
I know. Well, that's the thing is I wanted. I didn't think all the QBs would be all of
well,
my
you
top
took
QBs.
Them.
I understand that, but I didn't think you were going to – to be honest, I didn't think you were going to take Trey Lance to that. I had Trey Lance going to the Panthers here at 8. You totally overdrafted him at 3. I'm thrown for a loop right now. I'm just going to take best on my board because I think that you're getting a lot of value with Ja'Marr Chase here,
yes.
The wide receiver from LSU.
Yes.
And the Panthers, yes, they need a long-term answer at quarterback, but man, Ja'Marr Chase is unbelievable. You go back a couple of years, he was the best receiver in college football.
Oh, he's a man.
He is so good as a route runner. He creates space. He's great at the catch point. He's strong. I understand this doesn't, like, address a ton of needs, although they need outside help to take some pressure off of McCaffrey.
They lost Curtis Samuel.
They lost Curtis Samuel. You're exactly right. They do need long-term help. Maybe they can get a quarterback later in the draft, but Ja'Marr Chase goes to the Panthers.
I actually think it's a great pick. You lost Curtis Samuel. Okay, look at this.
Number 9, Broncos, Colin.
Well, it's really interesting because if I'd have done this mock draft with Klatt, who was chicken about a month ago, but he finally addressed it and decided to come. But I would have taken a corner, but they just went and paid for Kyle.
Yeah, they got Kyle Fuller.
So, but I still think they're bad at corner. So the question, because this is my hardest pick because I'm not a Drew Lock fan.
Yeah, I know. They need a QB.
But I'm not a Mac Jones fan.
Yeah.
And also, they need a corner, but they addressed it with Kyle Fuller.
Right.
I also think they could upgrade at tackle,
yep.
But I don't think it's a necessity. And I do think they need an interior defensive lineman, but none of them to me. I got Bradley Chubb. Von Miller's older. This is a hard pick for me. You know, and they don't need wide receiver. So
I would love to trade out. We're not trading right now, but you'd love to trade out.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to double down on corner. I'm going to go Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech.
Okay, that's not terrible.
No, listen, they got a bunch of stuff, and I think Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coach. Listen, they're in a division with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr.
That's exactly right.
You got to have corners.
Well, and specifically Mahomes and Herbert. You got to cover down the field for a long time. You know, so they need guys that can cover. I'm you know what? I like that.
All right. I hate
that I like some of these picks that you're giving right now.
Number 10, Dallas Cowboys, Joel.
The Cowboys need some help. They're not going to be happy that you just grabbed Caleb Farley. I'm going to go with Patrick Surtain.
Yep.
From Alabama, the corner. They need help on the outside. Listen, the Cowboys tied for the most 25-yard passing touchdowns given up in the league last year. They have got to have guys that can cover. This guy, I think, is the best cover corner in the draft. You can put him anywhere in the slot on the outside. He's big. He's physical. You just saw him run a couple of days ago. He can you know, blow it out in terms of a timed 40. Patrick Surtain goes to the Cowboys.
Boy, this is getting tough now because the Giants just acquired. I would have said Giants need a wide receiver, but they just went out and paid for Kenny Golladay. And they already have Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard. And then they got Kyle Rudolph and Evan Ingram. So they don't need a tight end and they don't need a wide receiver. So this mock draft that I did a month ago, I addressed all those, but they solved those.
They did.
This is how it happens real time. Who are you taking, Colin, with the Giants?
I'm going to go offensive line. I got to protect Daniel Jones. I'm going to go you know what? I like the viability of Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah, I
USC.
Like that.
They can go inside or out. He's a better guard than a tackle, but he had a great year. The bottom line is they are stacked at tight end. They addressed wide receiver. They even got a backup for Saquon Barkley. And their defense is not the issue. Their defensive front's fine. And they went and paid for Dory Jackson. So they went and addressed corners. So if you start looking at what they need, it's an offensive lineman like the kid from Northwestern that you can move in or out. And Vera Tucker had a great year at left tackle. Now, the Pac-12 didn't have a ton of great pass rushers.
But like you said, he can move inside.
Move him inside.
Which is good. And they need help protecting. And by the way, now my three best offensive linemen are off the board. I think those three are separating themselves through this process.
Yeah.
So we've got Sewell off the board, Vera Tucker off the board, and Rashawn Slater off the board.
All right, the 49ers, Joel.
I think that they've got to go out there and replace what they're losing at corner, right? And at this point, I think that J.C. Horn makes a lot of sense.
Good player.
The cornerback from South Carolina.
My scouts love him.
Yeah, a lot of people that I'm talking to within the NFL say that he's quietly really pushing those top two corners right now, that it's a good draft up there at the top with these three guys that can cover well, and he's got good ball skills, which people love, the ability to go out there and create turnovers. So I've got the 49ers going with J.C. Horn from South Carolina.
By the way, that division's got D.K. Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and the Rams pieces. And now
Cardinals, now you're going to have to deal with Stafford.
And DeAndre Hopkins. So it's a great wide receiver division. I mean, those three teams are stacked at wide receivers, so that's not a bad pick by you at all.
The L.A. Chargers at 13, Colin.
Well, they address center and guard. I believe they're going to go. I think they're going to stay on the offensive line because Derwin James comes back at safety.
Ooh, so. You're overdrafting here.
Well, you don't even know who I drafted.
I know the offensive lineman in the draft, and you're overdrafting right now. If he's going offensive line, Joy, he's overdrafting.
Well,
Go ahead. No, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I've got the next pick, so I'm ecstatic that you're overdrafting. Go ahead.
I'm going to take Christian Darrisaw, Virginia Tech, tackle.
Overdrafting.
He's very big. He looks very strong to me.
That's great.
They're bad at tackle. What are you going to do?
I understand that, but sometimes you just got to go with some value.
Where do you think he should go?
At that point, right? Darrisaw, to me,
I took him at 13. Not,
I mean, mid-20s, I think, is high enough for him. And you've got some wide receivers on the board that you can pair up with a young quarterback. You still got Waddle on the board. You still got Devontae Smith on the board.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. There's like 25 guys All right. What do you got?
All right, the Vikings, Joel.
Vikings have got to update their pass rush, right? I mean, their edge on their defense has got to – so I got Kwity Paye, the edge defensive end from Michigan. I think he was used poorly at Michigan because they didn't allow him to just sit at defensive end like the five technique or a seven technique and just rush the passer and develop. They were using him in stunts too much. That's why his production wasn't quite as what you would want to see. But he is a physical freak, and I think he's the best edge player in the draft.
All right, what about all those receivers you were talking about?
Well, they don't need those receivers. So they were, I think, believe last 23 sacks. Fifth worst in the league. They gave up 4,000 passing yards. They've got to get to the quarterback.
I don't disagree with their need. I agree with you.
New England Patriots, Colin.
But this is, by the way.
Oh, do it.
I predicted this.
Do it.
Before he got out here, I put Jalen Waddle down, and I'm doing it. Wide receiver, Alabama. So they got Kendrick Bourne, who's a four. N'Keal Harry's a three or a four. Nelson Aguilar's a two. They upgraded tight ends. So I think this is a can't miss. I think this kid is really special. I think he gets overshadowed by Suggs last year and by Devontae Smith because he got banged up a little bit. I think he's a stud.
I love Waddle. I really do. He's not as good of a route runner as Devontae Smith, and route runners usually have more success at the NFL level than guys that are just like physical talents. But I'm with you. I'm nitpicking here. Nitpicking, Colin.
All right, finally.
Oh.
Joel Klatt, who are the Cardinals selecting at 16.
Oh, by the way, all those receivers you talked about, you may want to snag one there.
I am going to take Devontae Smith right there. Cardinals take Devontae Smith.
Ooh.
Well,
I wanted to take a corner for them because obviously they lost Patrick Peterson. They lost Drake Kirkpatrick. I wanted to maybe even look at defensive tackle, but I don't think that there's a tackle that you can really value at that point. And if Smith is on the board, you look at his body of work, the separation that he gets. I understand that he's slight, but man, this guy is wide open all the time, and I love the creativity that Sark used at Alabama because you could say, hey, he's too small to get off the line of scrimmage against physical corners, right? And that might be true, but look how Sark used him. He was constantly in motion. He was off the ball. They used him in such creative ways, and that reminds me of what Kliff could do with him with Arizona. So a creative play caller, a great quarterback with Kyler Murray, I think that Devontae Smith could be a real explosion player for the Cardinals.
All right, so let's look at Joel Klatt and I. So
how do we do? Anybody? Did we leave anybody on the board?
You screwed up my board with your Panay Sewell to the Jets, and then I screwed up yours with Trey Lance.
Yeah, that one was
weird. Well,
you know,
can I just explain Trey Lance, who was at my house a couple nights ago?
He was
so my thing
very
is,
humble.
I'm claustrophobic. I don't like being trapped. I tell Joy this. I think that's a bad quarterback draft class next year. You get to week 8 with Tua, and you got Sean McDermott defensive coach and Belichick defensive coach and Robert Saleh, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm trapped with Tua. I bring Trey Lance in. You don't have to play. But I get to make a decision the following year. So I'm essentially drafting Trey Lance for next year. When he'll easily be the best quarterback prospect next year.
So you want to take the third pick in this year's draft for the chance that it could be next year's pick.
You got Justin Fields at 4, and he's not going to take a snap for 2 years.
Well, maybe not. I mean, the Falcons are trying to get out of that contract with Matt Ryan. So who knows if they can move him or not.
It's good luck.
I understand. I mean, that's a big
that's a lot of dead cap money.
That's a big number and good for Matt in that sense.
I got to be honest. I feel like I stole Kyle Pitts. God, Goff got lucky. Poor kid goes to Detroit from L.A.
But you see how it happens, though. This is why I love doing these type of – because every year we were like, how did that guy fall? And it's like, because it happens. Right, because team needs trump best available. Fit trumps best available. All of these things are interesting. And one of the things that I keep coming back to when I'm doing this, when I'm ranking players, when I'm looking at team needs and everything. Yes, it has to do with fit, but Colin, don't you even think it more so has to do with the organization's intent? You know, like a plan. What's the blueprint for this player that you're drafting? I think too many times we see organizations and they're just like, all right, we took this guy and we'll see. You know, like Isaiah Wilson, you know, they're like, hey, you know, the Titans are like, oh, well, you know, we'll see. And it didn't turn out.
Every year somebody drops in the draft. Micah Parsons, who's a great player.
Yes, he is.
But if you start looking at what, like, I would have taken Micah Parsons at 7 with Detroit. That was I had it written down. But in the end, Kyle Pitts fell, and I think...
And he's sitting there.
And Goff just lost Golladay. You can't have Goff behind a battle line without a star. So I would have taken Micah Parsons at 7 because their defense is abysmal. But Kyle Pitts is going to win you more games than Micah Parsons.
Probably.
So that's that. So, and by the way, and then you get to Carolina, and the truth is you lost Curtis Samuel, so I actually love the Jamar Chase pick.
Because if he's there.
By the way, had they not traded Curtis Samuel, I would go with Micah Parsons.
Right. Then. No, I totally agree. This is why free agency has to play out. I love this exercise. It's very fun. I mean, who knows if any of those will be correct, but that was fun. That was a good exercise right there.
Hey, you come on the show. It's not paddleball here.
Oh.
It's UFC.
Very
it's
humble.
Octagon.
This is octagon stuff?
You take some shots in here.
You know,
a lot of these shows are cream puff city. Not this.
Not
show.
This one. Ask Trey Lance. He was at Colin's house 2 nights ago.
All right, let's hear it for Joel Klatt. Excellent effort by Joel Klatt. Excellent.
Appreciate it, sir. Appreciate
Very
it.
Very excellent effort. I got to read a commercial. I'm way behind. The show's very popular.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app. Or wherever you get your podcast.
Sunday, the best season ever continues as the NASCAR Cup Series heads to Bristol for the first dirt track race in 50 years. The action starts Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on Fox and anywhere on the Fox Sports app.
Eat a Jersey Mike sub. Help a great local cause. Wednesday, March 31st. Next Wednesday is Jersey Mike's Day of Giving. Every store donates 100% of their sales to a local charity. Over 200 charities supported. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. That was so much fun with Joel Klatt. Here is Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So Jadeveon Clowney is still a free agent, but he could be closer to finding his next team. He visited the Browns on Wednesday. No deal was made, but the two sides are continuing to talk. Cleveland pursued Clowney last offseason, but he ended up signing a 1-year deal with the Titans instead. You love this move for the Browns if it's able to go through.
He's a playmaker.
He's only played one full 16-game season in his career. Yeah, that was 2017 with the Texans.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting a full season, but I know what I'm getting. Can I ask him in a big spot against the Ravens, the Steelers, a playoff game to make plays? Absolutely.
I think I look at him at this point in his career as a disruptor.
Yeah.
He has a big play potential, but he's not somebody that you're going to be able to rely on, and that's because he's not physically reliable.
Arizona gets A.J. Green. They're not asking him for 17 games. Make plays in the toughest division in football when we need him.
I think the Bucs put together a new style, kind of a new wave of doing things. You don't have to have all young players. You need kind of a similar in some ways to what LeBron likes to do. Play with veterans. You need obviously another star or two stars, but you then sprinkle in some veterans who maybe aren't reliable through the whole season physically, but are going to be there for you in big moments, and balance it with some young players that are coachable and fit the style and energy of the team. And you can't normally do that with the NFL because of free agency and the salary cap restrictions. And guys generally don't want to take 1-year deals.
Right.
But with the salary cap the way it is now, and with the ability to go in 1 year and play with a contender and possibly win a ring when you're later in your career and you've already kind of made your money and your endorsements and you're established, it's a good way to do it. I'm with you. I think that the Browns are the favorites in the AFC North, which is a very tough division.
And we don't lose sight of best offensive line in football.
And I don't want to discredit the Ravens. No. I still think the Ravens are a playoff team. I don't know what I'm going to get from the Bengals next year, although I do think they'll be improved.
By the way, there's 17 games here, so I could have Baltimore going 11-6, and I still think they'd finish second. I mean, it's like you can finish second now with 17 games and have 10 or 11 wins.
Yeah, yeah. So the relationship deteriorated between Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and a new report, a little bit, is giving details on how bad things really got. According to Lindsay Theory, the issue started in 2019 when Goff didn't live up to expectations following the Super Bowl appearance, but it really came crashing down after the Week 12 loss to the Niners last season when McVay shouted that Goff needed to play better. The team noticed McVay would routinely yell at Goff, but stopped coming back to apologize, and then it became increasingly difficult for Goff to have his coach call him out so often.
And also, we watched Goff's confidence deteriorate, and this is why. He got called out, because we were both saying, Goff just doesn't step into the ball, he doesn't throw with as much confidence, and in the end, we know now that McVay bailed on him and Goff lost confidence, and then he gets traded.
Well, it's a very weird dynamic with Goff and McVay, because most people consider Goff to be a bust before he got.
Oh yeah, McVay saved him.
And yes, he did save him. And I thought it was justified that they paid Goff and he was playing well. He deserved it. And it seems like everything was clicking. But maybe McVay kind of shaped things around him in a way that would elevate him, and then wanted to expand the offense a little bit, and Goff wasn't capable of doing that. And once people have tape on you, you've got to evolve. You've got to try new things.
This article had an interesting quote, which is something we've said, and it's obvious, but the Rams, a person inside the Rams said, listen, when stuff's set up for Jared, he's a top five quarterback.
Right.
When he can just sit back and throw the ball. But stuff isn't always set up, and wide receivers run bad routes, and they get jammed up, and the O-line gets hurt. And in the NFL today, is you got to have guys who are good when stuff's not set up all the time.
And you have to be able to read the coverages and make adjustments without the coach telling you what to do in those moments when things aren't perfect. I don't think that Goff is a bad player. Now, it's going to be a tough time for him in Detroit. So it's not like he went to a place that's like a Carson Wentz kind of situation where you're going into another ready-made situation. So you kind of have a good base to start with. But, I mean, I get it. Like, McVay is actually the guy with the Rams. It never felt like it was Goff's team. It always felt like it was McVay's team.
Absolutely.
Now, Stafford may change that depending on how he plays. But it really feels like the brand of the Rams is Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So if someone was going to go, it was obviously going to be Goff. All right, so it's NBA trade deadline today. I'm just going to read through a bunch of stuff that's going on because we can't.
Aaron Gordon to Denver.
All the things that are going on. There's a lot. The insiders are very busy today. So earlier, Nikola Vucevic went to the Bulls. Al-Farouq Aminu went to Chicago. Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter, and 2021 and 2023 first-round picks went to the Magic. They're also sending Evan Fournier to the Celtics. 76ers have got George Hill in a three-team deal with the Thunder and the Knicks. Austin Rivers will go to Oklahoma City, and Terrence Ferguson is headed to New York. Stay with me, just a few more. The Raptors have traded Norman Powell to the Blazers for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. And the Magic finalized a deal to send Aaron Gordon to the Nuggets in exchange for Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first-round pick in 2025.
Aaron Gordon to Denver's interesting, because Denver's a good team anyway. That's a really interesting move.
Yes. The Cavs also traded JaVale McGee to the Nuggets as well. And Washington is trading Troy Brown and Moy Wagner to Chicago for Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson. And then the Heat are sending Mo Harkless and Chris Silva to the Kings. Sacramento is sending Nemanja Bjelica to Miami. So, sorry. No, there's a lot there, it's NBA trade deadline, so I wanted to update you guys.
Denver got better, Portland got better, and Chicago's doubling down on Zach LaVine is what it looks like for me.
Yes, and the Magic have a ton of draft picks, so they're starting over.
Yeah, Orlando's just starting over. Yeah. They've done a lot of that through the years. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot of starting over.
All right, that's good stuff. Oh, by the way, Logan Ryan, I love him. He was on our show not long ago, New York Giants. New York Giants, by the way. That's Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So the New York Giants actually went and bought Adoree Jackson. They paid a lot for him. But he and Logan were teammates. So Logan apparently had dinner and sold the Giants on Adoree Jackson. And Adoree Jackson sold him on the Giants. So Logan Ryan, smart dude, will be joining us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marino, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marino. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marino on the iHeartRadio app. Or wherever you can get your podcast.
A couple years ago, Logan Ryan, I kept saying, why isn't anybody getting Logan Ryan? Remember that, Joy? He was on the market, and I'm like, dude, never misses a game. Hasn't missed a game in 2 years. Super smart, super heady. He can call your defensive signals. And then the New York Giants picked him up, and lo and behold, the Giants' defense last year was really good. Now, they had a new coach, Joe Judge. They didn't have a preseason. So I kind of said all last year, I kind of gave a pass. If you had a new coach and you didn't have a preseason, I wasn't going to judge you, Joe Judge. But the Giants got really good at the end of the year, and Logan Ryan, Giants DB, is now joining us live. A couple of Super Bowls in New England. So you guys went out and got Adoree Jackson, and you played with him, I think, two or three years in Tennessee. So were you part of the recruitment of him? Did you go to the Giants management and talk about him?
Yeah, I was definitely a part of the recruitment of Adoree Jackson. From the first minute that I saw he was available, first I reached out to make sure he was okay. And it's always tough when you get released, and I know it happened suddenly. He wasn't expecting that, so I just reached out as a friend. Me and Adoree are really close friends. And then when I saw the possibility was there, I was definitely there the whole way.
You know, it's interesting, Logan. You're a very durable player, very heady guy. And I thought you were valuable last year because you guys didn't have a preseason and you had a new coach. I think you were 1-7 to start, and then you were 5-3 at the end. Take me into the buy-in by the players, because we could kind of sense it with Brian Flores in Miami the year before, where right. You get into late October. Like, take me back to the season and when everybody bought into Joe Judge and his system.
Yeah, I mean, I did it something difficult. I signed up a week before the first game. I didn't go to training camp. I wasn't in that bonding experience of training camp. I was told training camp was really tough, and Joe was really trying to weed out the week, I believe. And I think it takes time to build any solid foundation in anything. It takes time. And I think that's what Joe was doing. And we were playing some good football and weren't finishing games, weren't closing out games. And I think week 4, week 5, when we lost a tight one to LA,
yeah,
and lost that our heartbreaker to Dallas, I think we realized, hey, you know, this thing is starting to work. We can compete with these teams. And I think our confidence started to come. The confidence had to be built, and that's what I was trying to instill with the team. And second half of the year, we played our best football, and that's what you want to do, is, you know, get better to the end of the year.
You know, I think Daniel Jones has talent. I think he had a turnover issue, and I had talked to Jason Garrett on the phone about 2 months ago, and Jason said, he went to him and he said, kid, you got to clean it up. Like, we're winning, we're out playing people, and we're losing games we got to win. So tell me, you see Daniel Jones at practice every day. What do you like, and what does he have to work on?
Yeah, I love Daniel. I mean, Daniel has got everything you need to be an elite quarterback. The thing he needs is an experience, and you can't rush that. You can't rush that. I know we live in a society where people want results in 1 week. People want results in 1 year. He had his first year starting. He had to learn from some of those mistakes, and sometimes you got to commit them in order to learn from them. But he adapted what the team needed him to do. The loss of Saquon Barkley out of training, you know, early in the year, is not how we practiced all year, not how the year is supposed to go. But that's how it went, and he was able to adapt. He was able to play through some injuries there, and he was able to take care of the ball in the end and give us a chance to win those games. And obviously, more is going to be expected of him this year, like everyone else. I expect more of myself being a full year in the program. So we're going to expect Daniel to lead us to victories this year, and I believe he can.
So you went and spent a lot of money on Kenny Golladay. Now, I think free agency is good when you augment a team. I'm not a huge fan of a free agent to solve all your issues, but I did think the Giants needed a pop on the perimeter offensively. I didn't think Darius Slayton can go deep. Sterling Shepard's a very good slot, but I thought they were going to draft him, a wide receiver. So they go out and get Kenny Golladay. He's not a separate guy. He's a catch radius guy. He can jump over people, runs a good route. What do you think? What dimension? Like, when you bring a free agent into a team, as you know, Logan, it doesn't always work. Sometimes they don't buy into the system. How do you ensure that Kenny buys into your system?
You know, I haven't played against Kenny Golladay. I don't know him personally. Know of him, a lot of him. Talked to some guys on the Lions who played with him, and they just say competitive. Competitor, catches every ball thrown his way. So to me, I get excited because a free agent can change your culture in practice, right? You bring a Kenny Golladay in practice against a James Bradbury, against myself, against an Adoree Jackson. Now your skill players are practicing at an elite level, a competitive level. And we saw from The Last Dance, we saw how some of these athletes are able to affect the game of practice, and it raises the level of the team. So once I heard that he's a relentless competitor and he goes out and catches everything thrown his way, I was like, man, I can't wait to practice against him. That's going to make everyone raise their game. And the more intense you can make practice, the easier the games are. I truly believe that.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. The Giants are such a blue blood franchise. And Tennessee always feels, I don't know why this is, but Tennessee always feels like not an expansion team, but young. And then you go from the Patriots, this dynasty, then to a kind of a young franchise, and now you're back to a blue blood. Just give me your thoughts about the Giants, the organization. There's been a little tumult in the last 4 or 5 years. You didn't have to deal with it. Right. You came in with the new guys. But the idea of playing football in New York, Cowboy games and Eagle games, these are national TV games, the specter of it all. How do you like it? How do you fit there?
Well, you know, when I played in New England, I learned how to prepare at the highest level, how to play in the highest games, the best situations. And I got to learn from the best, Tom Brady, on how to be a pro. When I went to Tennessee, I learned how to lead. Obviously, not the media market of the world, a young team, a team not much relevance at the time. And I learned how to be a great leader there. And I was able to bring that to New York with the tradition, with the blue blood, being from Jersey, understanding the state, understanding the people, understanding what it means if you're genuine and you show that you truly love ball, they'll love the heck out of you. So New York deserves a winner. I mean, it has to have one, and it deserves guys that do it the right way, guys who are blue collar and go to work every day. And that's what I bring, and that's what New York is. It's a perfect fit for me. I have the spotlight. I'm not afraid of it, but because I don't take any shortcuts. I go out there and work for it, and I believe our team does that too. There's no jump to the top here. We're taking it step by step, and we have a lot of confidence. Because we're going to take that confidence and work hard with it and see what we can get.
I always wonder, you're entering your ninth year. You're going to do something big after football, and you're not there yet. But what do you think you're going to do after football?
You know, it's a question I get a lot. I mean, I love talking to you guys. I love, you know, relating to the fans and try to tell the fans how I'm a normal dad. I got two kids at home. I'm a husband. I got those funny stories, me and my wife, what I have to deal with being married and having kids and all the responsibilities that all of us have to do going to work. So I always try to show the genuineness of that. But, you know, when I see Andrew Berry in Cleveland and he's a young GM, I mean, those are doors I never knew was open until I see guys like that get those jobs at that age. So it could be something in football. It could not. But I definitely want to be there for my kids and watch them grow. And, you know, we'll see what the opportunities align for me. And being in New York helps that as well.
Yeah. New Jersey guy, by the way. New Jersey always gets a bad rap. Jersey deserves a little love, by the way. Where'd you go to high school in Jersey?
I went in Voorhees, New Jersey. I went to Eastern Regional High School.
Were you
home of me and English Garner? She's an Olympic gold medalist for track. And I know you saw Rutgers basketball make some noise in that tournament.
I got nothing against Jersey. I've been to Jersey more than enough times. Jersey Shore is a lot of fun. Logan, you're a credit to the game, buddy. I love having you on the show, and good luck. Stay in shape, and can't wait to watch you play again.
I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, Logan Ryan's the classic guy. Like we had Levante David on. Comes into the locker room, grown up, calls the plays, communicates, helps you in free agency. Half this league is undrafted. There's just a lot of glue guys and a lot of guys. He was one of those guys that was on the market, and I was like, I don't get it. A couple years ago, I said with Garoppolo was in New England. I'm like, why aren't people making a move for Garoppolo? He's a starter. Sam Darnold right now. I don't understand it. Why are people not making a move for Sam Darnold? There's just guys in this league that I want in my locker room. Like, they're grown-ups. Like, he doesn't miss any. He hasn't missed a game. He's missed three games in his career. He's been playing for a decade.
Well, also, guys like that are invaluable because when you have a lot of young guys on the team, they know how to be pros and all the in and outs and all the secrets and all the moves to make and are not, like, selfish. They want to help everyone develop. And that's, like you said, invaluable.
Yeah. It's always good to get those veteran guys who have made their money and all they care about is winning.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've said this before. If I was a pro athlete, my first 5-6 years, I'd be about the money. You got to give me the money. And then after that, then you got your 20-30 mil. Then, I mean, not that I wouldn't want to win, but I get the first. I mean, if you don't grow up with much and somebody can give you 35 million, like, I get it.
Well, it's what they do for a living.
Yeah. But so, then.
So that's why they're called professionals.
Like, right now, I don't care about the money. To me, I would do this for free. Early in my career, it was all about the money. Now it's just about altruism and...
Yeah, and doing mock drafts with Joel Klatt.
Okay, enough of me. All right, we got Alvin Kamara, the Saints last hour. Also, Dick Stockton, broadcasters retiring. Dick Stockton, I was about 10 years old, and I was really into baseball, and Dick Stockton broadcast, what I believe is the best baseball game in the history of the sport, Fenway Park, Red Sox, Big Red Machine, Carlton Fisk gets a home run. Dick Stockton was the voice of that. So when I was a young kid, I was more of a baseball guy over a football guy. I wasn't a guy at that point. I was a kid. But Dick Stockton was on the call for that game, and he's calling it a career today. Later, we'll have him on. Hour 3 in the Herd.